It's the Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
Jay! Jay! Hey! My headset's
Text or call the show at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross
on Sactown Sports 1140.
NBA is stirring and stretching and getting all the kinks out, ready to go. There's a lot going on. We've got all kinds of sound for you. Don't forget, De'Aaron Fox, 727. Harrison Barnes at 8 a.m. And you know there's going to be no coverage like Sactown Sports' coverage of the Sacramento Kings this year, as excitement is abound, if you will. We had some more sound to get to. Remember, we were talking about DeAndre Ayton.
Mm-hmm.
And you had mentioned his communication or lack thereof with Coach Monty Williams.
Yeah.
Here's what DeAndre said.
I haven't spoken to Monty. No, I haven't spoken at all. Ever since the game.
I haven't talked to a bunch of our guys. As I said earlier this summer, like they needed a break from me, the gym. Unless you were in the gym like every day, I've had interactions with everybody, but talking to guys about deep stuff, there's a number of guys I haven't talked to. Even when guys were in the gym, I wouldn't come downstairs just because I wanted them to get a break from me.
A lot of people reading into that, and I get it.
Yeah.
Is it possible just to take it at face value, too, that, hey, man, last year sucked at the end. It was crushing. We choked. It was embarrassing. We got our doors blown off at home, and we were the number one seed. And we just needed – I just want to give everybody a break. Let's just get away from each other.
I think that game seven needs a 30 for 30. That doesn't make any sense. Like, in the history of sports, that's one of the more mind-boggling single-game performances. It never got better. They got so crushed at home. A bad day. This is beyond a bad day. That was just bizarre. So it just, and maybe part of it with the Ayton conversation is, I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of people in the organization thought Ayton was gone.
Yeah.
But then he wasn't. So maybe when he signed, I don't know. It feels a little weird to me because I think one of the things that has been credited to Monty Williams is how good he is at communicating with his players. And so for him to, I can picture getting away, but they lost in May. It's almost October.
I like your point about the 30 for 30. They were 64-18. They were playing at home.
Mm-hmm.
And
had won every game in the series at home.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, Dallas, cute. You just made this. Okay, you'll lose game seven.
They were down. They lost the game by 33.
Yeah. What was the halftime score?
Okay, so I'm looking at the box score right now, as a matter of fact. They were down 42 headed into the fourth. They outscored Dallas by 9 in the fourth and still lost by 33. Yeah.
They only needed 6 more quarters and they had them.
Right? DeAndre Ayton had 5 points and 4 rebounds in the game. Bridges had 6 points. Crowder had 5 points. Their entire, let me see here if I'm right here. Okay. Luka Doncic had 35 points, which was 3 points less than the entire starting lineup for the Suns combined. Oh. Their leading scorer, the Suns starter, was Devin Booker with 11. Chris Paul had 10 on a combined 7 of 22. I can go on and on and on, but I love what you said about the 30 for 30, whether it's that or not. You do kind of feel, and it had nothing, the Sarver stuff was still to come.
Oh, right,
but, but something had to, like, and again, please understand, I hate the way the media does dumb things. Let me put 11 disclaimers. I'm sure this didn't happen. I'm just providing an example. I'm not trying to start a rumor. I'm not trying to throw anything out there that to me. But it's almost like a player caught another player, like, messing around with his girl. Mm-hmm. Or there was a big brawl on the – like, something had to have happened internally. But then the other part of me is like, it would have gotten out.
Yeah.
But is it possible that a team that went 64-18 got that blown out at home.
Right. Everybody has a bad day, but it's like all the players, the collective, like one, you know, they were all terrible, but Booker scored 46 and kept him in the game. Like, no, right. There was not one redeeming thing. It didn't get better. It started terribly, continued that way, and didn't make a lot of sense.
Spencer Dinwiddie, Luka Doncic, and Jalen Brunson combined scored one less point than the Suns. They had 89 combined points. The Suns had 90.
Well, those guys probably sat out most of the latter part of the game.
Absolutely.
Because it was in the bag.
Luka Doncic played 30 minutes, as did Brunson, and Dinwiddie played 25.
Yeah.
That it's a 48-minute game. They sat out a quarter and a half and still almost outscored the entire number one ranked Suns team. Right. Yeah, you're right.
There's something there.
There's something going on. There's something going on with Lonzo Ball. There were rumors all summer, and you even heard like the GM in Chicago saying, yeah, his recovery is not going as fast as we'd like. You kept
it hurt for a long time.
Yeah. And you and Lonzo Ball is very, I don't know if I could say quietly, but, you know, he started out in the whole LeVar Ball thing and blah, blah, and the Lakers. But Lonzo is, you look up, and he's an NBA vet now, and has put together a very decent career. Last year, 13 points, 5.5 boards, just over 5 assists. He threw 42% from behind the arc with that bootleg-looking shot. But it works for him. Couple of steals a game and plus defense. But there's something wrong. And Lonzo expanded on that at Chicago Media Day.
Yeah, literally, like, I really can't run, so can't.
Okay, let's just stop right there. Boy, that's not great.
Yeah, so when are you coming back? I can't run.
Okay.
Yeah, literally, like, I really can't run, so can't run or jump, so.
There's like- what?
Or jump.
Okay. But do you need to run or jump to play, is my question. He can just shoot.
I'll go with yes.
He can't run or
like jump. A range from like 30 to 60 degrees when my knee is bent that I have like no force and I can't like, you know, catch myself. So until I can do those things, you know, I can't play. So I did rehab. It was getting better, but it was not to a point where I can get out there and actually go out there and run at, you know, full speed or jump. So surgery is the next step.
That sounds very suspiciously like we're not seeing Lonzo Ball this season.
After missing a lot of the back half of last season.
He played 35 games last year. As a matter of fact, Lonzo Ball, in his 5 seasons, 52, 47, 63, 55, 35, two of those are COVID years, but it's not a lot of that's not a lot of games, man. On a lighter note, because I want to see Lonzo play. I mean, give me a break here. Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler's great, and he was asked about his hair, and it was great.
I don't have any extensions. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know. It's still up to debate if I'm going to keep my hair like this or not. They're not extensions. So who knows? I'm trying out a lot of new looks. Y'all like my baby face assassin look? It's kind of cute, isn't it? I really don't know. I ain't even thought about it. I'm just messing with stuff to make the internet mad. That was my goal this summer, and it worked.
He's such a troll.
Yeah.
And in a great way. What is Jim Butler going to do when he's done with basketball? We're going to talk to Harrison Barnes later and ask him about that. But Jimmy's kind of interesting.
He is.
I feel like I could see him going into the entertainment world, being a promoter, doing something.
Jimmy Butler is going to have the finest winery in all of Napa when he is done playing.
I mean, he started that whole coffee thing in the bubble.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you heard about his like insane wine collection, right?
I have not.
Well, apparently it's like, you know, the high rolling NBA players.
Yes.
That's kind of how they, you know, show each other
that.
Up.
The wine.
Apparently Jimmy's wine collection
really
is pristine.
You know, I could see Jimmy Butler. Here's what's great. You know, it's such a great topic you bring up. Because wine has infiltrated the NBA. There was a great article, I forget who did it, I'll try to retweet, about 3-4 years ago. and was literally talking about how like something like it was like Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, Carmelo Anthony, a bunch of these guys were super into wine and would bring it on the road, and they would
and
like,
I think Pop too, right?
Yeah, exactly. And they would have like little wine tastings on the road with each other, and they had like little briefcases that they put. So you're going to very soon, and in some cases you've already started, you're going to have a bunch of rich, young NBA graduates that are going to likely go into the wine business. And here's the thing about the wine business, and I'm sure there's exceptions, but we haven't heard of them. The wine business is very old, very snooty, very, you know, with the pinky out. I think it's actually going to be very interesting when some of these guys go into the wine business, buy huge vineyards, have a ton of money to put into it, and try to make wine younger and cooler.
Yeah.
Where you could see, like, different ideas, different, you know, the wine coolers coming back in cool-looking cans. Like, wine is, like, the oldest. It's like wine and mead are, like, the oldest drinks in the world.
And Ovaltine.
And Ovaltine, thank you. And I'm here for graduate NBA players to come in and inject some life and some personality into the wine world. So Jay, I like that. I agree with you. I think you're right.
And Mead needs some help too.
Mead, absolutely. Come on, Mead. I mean, does anybody really drink? Have you? Let me ask you. You're not a drinker, same as me. Have you ever had Mead?
No.
Jay, have you ever had Mead?
I can honestly say I have not.
I
don't have the need. The need for
Mead. For Mead. Hey, Carmichael Dave here.
Hi.
And I have a need. I have a need to go to Amy Ace Hardware and Amy's Outdoor Living. That's all coming up with their big grand opening. El Dorado Hills Town Center. Now, it's all weekend long. Friday through Sunday. But, man, there's a lot of cool stuff going on. Now, I'm going to be out there at 10 a.m. on Friday. I'll be out there for the ribbon cutting. And it really is an honor to be out there because I've been going to Amy since I was a kid, going with my dad. He, you know, I need to pick up this thing for the lawn and I need a chair. And so I go there. Why would I go there? I didn't care about anything they had. Because I was a kid. What do I care about a lawnmower? I cared about the popcorn. There were two things, and real old-school Sacramentans will remember this in my generation. There were two errands I used to like to go to all the time with my parents. With my dad, it would be Amy for the popcorn. With my mom, it would be River City Bank for the little mitts they gave you whenever she'd get her money. Just saying. And now I get to be a part of, or I get to be present for the first. This is their first, second store, if you get my drift. It's always been the same place since the 1900s. I'll be there with the Traeger pellet rep, showing you everything you want to know about a Traeger grill. Saturday, Sunday, free hot dogs from 11 to 2. I'm going to have to go back up there. Free hot dogs. Don't miss it. Inside the hardware store is Amy's Outdoor Living, a store within a store with a huge selection of outdoor furniture, barbecue grills, fire pits, and more. It's a grand opening. Amy Ace Hardware, Amy Outdoor Living, El Dorado Town Center, Highway 50, and the La Trobe exit. See you out there at 10 a.m. on Friday. When we come back, we're all over the place. The fall of Aaron Judge. Big name free agents and a big halftime show. Threefer's next.
Breaking news, the latest happenings with your favorite teams.
You ever wonder about what the heck all these kids are doing on the computers all the time?
Stay up to date with all of it by following us on Instagram and Twitter.
Excuse me, gentlemen, a little update for you.
At Sactown 1140. Three questions, three answers. It's three for madness on the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross. Question one.
Three for madness. I just got a text.
Why are you looking at me with disdain?
I'm looking at you, but not. It's not your fault.
But you're giving me the look of disdain. I didn't do anything.
I just got a text. My appointment has been canceled today because the dentist is sick.
Oh, we were just talking about this yesterday. And Jay's like,
it's my fault.
So today,
I jinxed him.
I was supposed to get not one, but two teeth pulled.
Two teeth?
Including a wisdom tooth.
Ooh.
I've never had a tooth pulled. Really? I've been stressing about this.
Not bad at all.
I see the videos of people that get wisdom teeth pulled, and they're like, I don't understand why doesn't my dog like me or whatever, and I don't want to be that guy. So I've been.
It's not getting your teeth pulled isn't bad. Wisdom teeth I can't speak on, but just a regular tooth, it's not that bad.
It didn't hurt?
No, they numb you up. You don't even feel it.
Even when it comes out?
Yeah.
Okay, well, either way, I wouldn't live over this.
What the hell do you think this is, 1974?
Dude, I'm just saying it's blood and gauze and all that, and they're like, you're going to have to drink milkshakes for a few days while the wisdom tooth hole has
I didn't
the gauze
say wisdom. I said I can't speak on wisdom teeth.
Anyways, you gear up for these things mentally, and now it's being rescheduled. I have to gear up all – I just wanted to get it over with.
Well, you know what?
What?
In honor of that, take this question off. You've been through too much stress this morning.
Fine.
Take this question off. We'll give it to Jason
Son
Ross.
I'll do it like Forrest Gump did in Castaway and take the ice skate and just pound it out.
That's not good.
Question one.
Hey, Jason.
Yeah.
Are you getting scared that Aaron Judge will not break Roger Maris's AL record of 61 home runs?
Scared?
Scared.
No.
No?
No. Not Curtis? Scared. No, but I am.
What is your feeling?
My feeling is I have watched every at-bat since last Tuesday, every one, and every time. This is my routine, and maybe this is it. Maybe I'm not a believer in jinx or all that. I have a tweet that is ready. It's saved. And every time he comes up, I'm like, okay, pull it up. And then I'm just ready to go.
Yeah, I guess.
Sure. What would I say?
No, he didn't. Yes, he did.
Dang it. I should change it.
I knew it.
I should put that in there.
You should.
You should send a note to John Sterling. Hey, John.
A judge again, blast.
Dear John.
Dear John, 61 home runs? No, he didn't.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
Sincerely, a broadcaster everybody loves.
Yeah. How has it turned into a wrestling program? Yes, he did.
I'm not I just want him to do it for himself. Like the Maris family's been following him. His mom is still traveling to Toronto.
Maris's mom?
No, son. just the anticipation. It feels like if he hits one more, he might hit like three more and just kind of get to like 64, 65 and then end there. But he's been stuck here, second longest drought of the year.
If he doesn't hit a home run this year.
The rest of the year.
Another home run the rest of the year. Do you look back on the season as like, well, it was great, but also kind of a failure?
No.
It doesn't put just the – it doesn't cloud the MVP Triple Crown just a bit.
And he misses the Triple Crown.
Oh, if he misses the Triple Crown because his batting – that's the one that's in jeopardy. The other two aren't
– batting average falls. Okay, real question. All joking aside. All joking aside. If he doesn't hit another home run the rest of the year, how many more games do they have?
They have seven or eight.
Okay. Yeah. Doesn't hit a home run the rest of the year. So that would have been by then, 13 games?
Something like that, yeah.
And he misses and his average falls below Triple Crown.
Mm-hmm.
Is it like Aaron Judge had an amazing year, definite MVP or MVP candidate, blah, 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 but also you kind of remember that it was like a huge joke? Like, do you remember
that? That's
what
you put out there, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess.
Is it reminiscent? I know we're talking team versus individual here. Is it reminiscent of the Warriors winning 73 regular season games and losing the title?
That's a great comparison. Your thoughts, 1-800-920-1140. Question number two.
Question two.
Oh, by the way, thanks. Text line 916-339-1140. Shockingly, from the 209, Dave, wisdom tooth extraction is top three pains I've experienced. 29 years old, I had my first tooth extraction early last month. Brutal, in all caps, but good luck. Thanks.
What are the other two pains? If it's top three.
That's a great point. What are the other two pages?
So you can reference.
Yeah. 209.
I imagine being, kicked in the proverbial lower region.
Worse than wisdom tooth?
It's pretty bad.
I want to know what the other two pains are. Helpy McHalperton on the text line. Number two.
Hey, speaking of pains, some of these guys have been described as pains in the butt on their teams.
Wow.
Which former NBA All-Star and Sacramento King is more likely to land on a roster at some point this season? Rajon Rondo, Isaiah Thomas, or DeMarcus Cousins?
I would say DeMarcus. I would say DeMarcus because I think, and that's not a bias. I think there's more of a need for big men depth-wise in this league than there is for backcourt guys, specifically point guards. I think, to be honest with you, if you asked me, I'd put the over. I'll ask you guys. Over under on how many of those three play an NBA game this year, I'm going to set it 2.5.
Under.
Under.
Let's see. I think it'll be two. I think two of the three will get
it. I think it'll be Rajon and DeMarcus.
Isn't Isaiah with Charlotte? Did he stay
is
there?
He, I know he was. I don't know if he stayed there.
I think he did.
But I can definitely see Rondo getting called up. Picked up.
Rondo, I mean, Rondo's just so damn smart. He'll end up, there's a team that could use him. I think at least two and possibly three will play in it. I know DeMarcus has been working out. He's ready to go. I keep hearing that the Clippers are back in play for him too. I think there's an NBA team, and he's mellowed out. So, I mean, there's still DeMarcus-ness with him.
We saw a few bits of that last year in the playoffs.
Right. But I think there's a team that could use him. By the way, 209 guy says, fully torn MCL meniscus and probably a vodka hangover to reference the other two pains.
I'm not hanging around that bad.
Okay. Number three.
Question three.
On a scale of 1 to 10, what is your excitement level of Rihanna performing at the Super Bowl halftime show?
I mean, we should have called Sean Cunningham.
Oh, it's a 25 for him.
Yeah, it's like his favorite thing ever. Here's the thing with Rihanna. I like fully acknowledge, I mean, first off, she's literally a billionaire.
Someone said inflation's so bad she has to get back to work.
She's a massive superstar, and I think it's going to be a wonderful show. It also kind of like pointed out, it's like Seinfeld and The Simpsons for me. I've kind of missed Rihanna.
Really?
Like, okay.
Oh my gosh, you've missed a lot.
Umbrella, Gonna Run This Town, but isn't that technically a Jay-Z song?
Nah, it's a collab with her, Jay-Z, and Kanye.
I honestly think my favorite, there's a song that she has like from a couple albums ago that sounds like a 50s song.
Love on the Brain?
Yes. Well done. I love that song. And the one that I really love is the Better Have My Money. Because it's just a great video too. And I really hope she does that.
She'll do it.
I feel like I should know 30 more Rihanna songs.
There's about 30 more hits. Like, Rihanna is...
Her voice is fantastic.
Yeah. Well, Rihanna's just a hit maker, number one. Yeah. And Rihanna is just an overall artist. Performance-wise, everything she does. Rihanna's dope. I'm at, like, a 20 for this one.
Nice,
wow. I love Rihanna.
Well, I'm just a fan of the halftime. I mean, I know people will get... Guess what? They'll get critical. This was not good. This was good. I mean, it's just... We're going to get every opinion on this when it does happen. But I think it's become such an iconic part of the Super Bowl now. I enjoyed it. I loved last year's. I thought that was really cool with the collaboration of all the different artists they had with the L.A. kind of theme.
I love that.
I thought it was great. And then some people didn't. I'm like, okay, well, whatever. So that's the prediction. But as far as excited, I've just liked it. So I don't know, 9? 9 out of 10?
That's pretty good. I'm excited. To be clear, I'm super excited too.
And also, who else will come out? Like, I think there's also who else appears.
Ooh, does Jay-Z comes out, right?
I mean, Jay-Z's the person who got this done.
And
I
she did
imagine.
A song with Drake, right?
She's done many of song with Drake.
I know, I sound stupid. Disturbia.
Disturbia's a good song.
I know that song. My whole point is this. I'm super excited. I totally acknowledge she's awesome. I feel like I should
Spotify Rihanna rabbit hole when you have a moment.
I think I might. I feel like I should be. I should know more. There. Let me put it this way too. I don't think I've ever heard anything from Rihanna I didn't like.
There you go.
Maybe I'm just missing out. And he stopped listening to. The DOC so much. Like, he's, you know, we'll take a break. Pour that out when we come back. Hey, more Kings Media Day. How about De'Aaron Fox?
Yes.
Yeah, he's going to join us right after this.
Live and past broadcasts of the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross and Cattles and Robbie. Interviews, podcasts, and more. They all live on the Sactown Sports 1140 app. Download the app now in the App Store and Google Play. The Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross. Text or call the show at 916-339-1140. On Sactown Sports 1140.
Harrison Barnes from Media Day. He's going to come on with us. Top of the hour, half hour from now, 8 o'clock. It's Dave, it's Jason, it's Jay. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Hello to everybody in the YouTube chat. You can watch us on the Sactown Sports YouTube page. Also, in addition to watching us and Cattles and Rami live, tons more media coverage of the Kings than anywhere else. It's ridiculous the amount of work that everybody in our digital department is doing bringing that content to you. I strongly suggest, if you want to know what's going on in Kingsland, that you do check it out. Friday, we'll have Greg Papa at 8 o'clock. We got all kinds of football coming up this weekend, too. But the fact that they came, this is where the year just gets so amazing, because we got basketball coming back, football's in full swing, and we go from searching for topics to every day
to editing,
having to edit out topics that normally would be a top three topic in July.
It's
the best time of year for sports, the fall. And when we visited with De'Aaron Fox on Monday, he was smiling, he was jovial, he was forthright. Not that he isn't normally, but he really did seem like a happy and centered dude. And he's coming off a heck of a run to end the year last year. A heck of a run.
We need more of that.
Oh, my goodness. We need a whole year of that, I would hope. Here he is talking basketball, marriage, video games, of course, break my heart, and so much more. Here's De'Aaron Fox from Monday.
This is ready whenever you are, Dave, so we're just going to kind of make this all work here.
All right, we're here with De'Aaron Fox. Hey, did you do anything this offseason?
Just got married, you know, when I was that and work. That was about it.
Yeah. What was your role in the prep for the wedding?
Nothing.
You stayed out?
Yeah,
showed up.
Yep, that's it. Wasn't that? Cause I helped with the seating. That's about it. But it was like, yeah,
but that
like,
could be tough. There?
Nah, yeah. I don't have any family that like hates each other. So,
so was it one of those situations where, because we've been through it too, where you as a playmaker in your job, you find it best that this is where you don't make plays, you stay out of the play.
Yeah, I'm not doing any of that. I didn't ask how much flowers were. I didn't do nothing. I did nothing.
Not to get too far into it, but did you get a great wedding present? Any cool gifts?
Like, oh, no, we didn't know presents.
You haven't done it? Oh, no presents.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
we're like, cool. Yo, just show up, have a good time. Our present is everybody else being there, and everybody enjoyed it. So
it looked gorgeous, and congratulations to you. To you both.
Yeah, we didn't feel like, because we were leaving for our honeymoon the day after. So I'm like, gotcha. We don't feel like packing up everything and doing all that. So, nah, don't bring anything. Just bring yourself. And no kids. Yeah. No. Don't bring your kids.
No, that's because that's not a real honeymoon. Yeah, that's not a real vacation. No kids. No, it's not a real wedding. It's not a real, no, because especially the young
I've seen
ones.
Weddings with kids. Nah, none of that. No kids in the wedding.
Were you dancing a lot?
Not a lot, but we definitely danced. And like, we don't drink. Neither one of us.
Yeah,
drink,
sure.
So we remember the whole wedding. You have other people like, yo, I don't even remember half the wedding. Now we remember the whole
thing. Did you have a specific like wedding? Because some people, they have like their wedding song or they have their couple song. Did you guys like have a specific song?
Yeah, so that's actually funny. It actually got messed up. We were supposed to come out to like a fun song and then have our first dance, but the songs got flipped. Yeah, so it was
what'd
disaster.
You do?
I danced.
Did you dance? Yeah, so you danced to the serious song and came out to the fun song?
So we were supposed to come out to the fun song, but we ended up coming out to the serious song.
Okay.
But we still did like our first dance and stuff, so it was all right. It wasn't too bad. No one actually noticed.
Sure. You said you did work in the off season. So what are you working on? Just everything?
Yeah, so I mean pretty much everything. Obviously the performance part was different than what I did last year. But once we hired Luke, he came down to San Diego, and I worked with him the whole summer. So he's helped me, you know, develop as a player.
How much work did you get in with, besides yourself, with your teammates?
So we did one in Napa. I think some of the young guys were like out here, and they're in San Francisco for a little while. But I've been here for the past month. I think I got back on the 23rd. So we've had most of the guys, and the guys who weren't here were playing in the FIBA stuff, so we've had most of the guys here.
It's hard to believe you're coming into your sixth season in the NBA, and I know you didn't necessarily come out of the blocks last year like you wanted, and I know even though you're a vet, you're still learning all the time, so are you trying to do something different this year? Is there something different about you coming into this camp?
I think just skill-wise, and obviously last year the weight thing was one as well, but we're at exactly where we want to be, and I think I felt the best that I've pretty much felt in since coming in, and I think I've gotten better as a player. So that's pretty much all it is. Not necessarily approaching differently, but knowing I need to play well. Not just I played well the first game, and then outside of that, you know, the next 20 or so, whatever it was. But for me, it's just knowing that I have to perform.
You've done it before, but what's the challenge of playing now for another new coach, another new head coach, and kind of going through this system?
For me, it's not really something I'm thinking about. Mike's come in, and he's a very personable guy, so he's someone that you feel like you've known for forever. And for me, obviously, Rasay worked with them when they were in Golden State. So, like, having Luke and Jordy and all these guys who have won at a high level, you pretty much just come in, like, ready to learn, ready to hit the ground running. And like you said, most coaches will tell you if your first time being together is training camp, then you're already behind. And we've had most guys here for a month, so I feel like we've gone through some stuff, and now it's just we've already laid the groundwork, and now it's pretty much going through X's and O's and exactly what we're, you know, looking for defensively and terminology and all that stuff. But we've already been here together, and I feel like we're already ahead of the curve.
You mentioned defensively. I mean, if you were to name off your pros, cons, whatever, defense isn't one of the top ones yet going back to Kentucky in your career. I just saw a stat the other day, your splits when guarding, I think it's top 35 in scoring versus not, and they're ridiculously good. You can play amazing defense. I know a lot of that's what's surrounding you. Are you excited to have a defensive-minded coach and to kind of show that part of your game this year?
Yeah, definitely. And I think coming in and since we've been playing, you know, he's talked about defense a lot to me personally, and just telling me some plays that have stuck out, and that's just from us, you know, playing out here. So it's something that I know I need to do consistently, and one part of that is just being in the best shape that you can be in, being able to, you know, fight through 6-7 screens in a possession and still be able to do what you do offensively. So I think that's a big part, and I think that's a big part that plays into it, and I feel like I'm ready for it.
I imagine at this point in your career, you're tired of watching the playoffs, aren't you?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And it's funny because Malik hasn't been to the playoffs either, and it's been some years for Domas, so I think everybody's itching and hungry to be back in it.
So you mentioned Malik. I mean, we forget you guys are people too, and going back to UK, Coach Cal, this has got to be pretty cool being able to play with that guy.
Yeah, definitely. And like I've said it before, like our freshman class, me, him, Bam, and Winyon, you know, we pretty much talk every day. So being able to see him every day is definitely, it doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
Is that like a group chat or just all call? How's that work?
Yeah. We have group match through like iMessage, uh-huh. And we have Twitter, Instagram. So we have a group message on pretty much everything.
All right, this is the part where I make everyone mad, but what are we playing right now? What's the game? Because everyone's asking real basketball questions.
You know, I started Dying Light, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, because I've been playing. I actually only play on PC now, except for, like, I was playing 2K.
Gave up PS5?
I played 2K for, like, a week. If 2K actually made their game cross-platform, I wouldn't even plug the PS5 up. So, yeah, I started.
Well, you're one of the last few PS5. I mean, now you're full on PC, huh?
Yeah, okay. I'm full PC. Right. Full PC. Like I was in San Diego this summer. I left my PlayStation here. I didn't take it at all.
So our text line is going to be talking about how the PC truthers are now coming out. I promise you, you know they are. Well, I got to ask you. I could never get from controller
to keyboard and mouse.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know if I don't know if I told you earlier, but like when I fractured my finger at the end of the season last year against Milwaukee. Probably like a week before, I was learning how to play keyboard and mouse.
Right.
So then I hit Giannis, fractured my finger, and now I can't hold the controller. It was okay. So I actually play everything on keyboard and mouse now, besides 2K.
And you have more control, they say.
It feels, especially for like FPSs, it feels much better.
Okay. That's the important stuff.
And then I picked up a controller during the summer just to try it, and I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Wow. So I'm all keyboard and mouse now.
Because I plug the controller into the PC when I have to.
That's how I started.
Which is cheating.
Yeah, that's how I started.
Okay.
But now it's all keyboard and mouse. But now taking it on the road, it's much easier.
That's true.
Now I just have a laptop.
Right.
Well, technically I take two laptops. Like I take an iMac to like watch. Yeah, we got to watch shows. So
right.
Watch shows on that. And then like I have an MSI Titan. That's my travel laptop.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like a desktop replacement. Like it's actually pretty big.
And do you have that? I know they have those cases where you put all the gear in there and stuff like that too.
No, I just because I don't need anything else. It's just that and like a pair of headphones.
Didn't VC hand those out? Those are for consoles. Christmas presents, right? You guys all got the little
Things are bulky though. You don't even feel like carrying that.
Yeah. Well,
so you're on a long flight home. Are you playing or watching?
Watching.
You're watching.
I'm just watching stuff. Or I really just listen to music and sleep. Sleep the whole time. That's where I get a lot of sleep on a plane.
Well, they're giving the signal. You are a busy man. Congratulations, seriously, to you both. It's gonna be nice to be able to go home now after games and have somebody there next to you teaching you what you did wrong.
Well, we've been living together
right, for some years,
so it already happens. But when you have those bad ones, she knows I'm not talking about it. So,
yeah.
Right. So we skip over that part.
Stay healthy. Have a great year, my man.
Appreciate you guys.
All right,
thank you
all
so much.
That's De'Aaron Fox, and I'll tell you, here's the takeaway. Maybe you should be spending more time in the gym.
Unless I knew that was coming.
I can't wait for that.
Yeah.
Maybe if you were spending more time in the gym.
And sounds like he was.
Playing Guiding Light, which, by the way, wasn't Guiding Light a... I'm not familiar with that game.
It's a soap opera, I believe.
That's what I thought. It was a soap opera. So the soap opera continues. De'Aaron Fox, obviously, has no problems talking video games. And we had a lot of fun with him. Congratulations, by the way, to him and he and his new bride as well. We'll take a break. When we come back, let's follow up on some of the basketball aspects of that interview. And what are your expectations? What do we need out of De'Aaron Fox this year? We'll do that next.
Kings insiders Frankie Cardoselli and Chris Watkins give you all things Kings on the return of the Roar podcast.
You know, with these two sitting next to me now, certainly feel comforted.
You can sign up for free at SacktownSports.com. Got a take?
Make sure it's a hot one.
Take a shot right now.
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
The Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sacktown Sports 1140.
A little bit of a controversy here, and we'll move on from it real quick. But
no controversy.
I just got a text message, or not a tweet, and somebody said it's not Guiding Light, it's Dying Light. The video game De'Aaron Fox is talking about. I'm looking at a Guiding Light. It's on Steam. It's January of 2020, so not brand new, but still, it's a co-op game.
Possible there's a Dying and a Guiding Light?
Well, there is, because then I looked at Dying Light, and that was, I mean, I kind of trust the person.
Either way, he's playing a light game, all right? Gives a damn.
Yeah, see? So, all of that aside, what do we need out of De'Aaron? No, that's the wrong question. I'm sorry. I want you guys to think about what would constitute a good year in our eyes for De'Aaron Fox. And while we ponder that at home and here, let's go to our old friend, not Junior, it's JR. JR, good morning. You're on with Jason Ross and Jay Mars.
Can he do it? Yes, he can. Jay Ross. Can he do it? Yes, he can. That's Jay Ross's logo, right?
It's my logo. That's it.
He stole it from Bob the Builder, by the way.
Close personal friend, me and Bob.
Yes. And Rihanna, real quick, Rihanna, have you ever seen her in the movie Battleship?
Yes.
No.
She's badass in that movie. Hmm. So she's got multiple talents. And then the greatest pain ever, I hate to say it, it's a guy's name. His name is Robert Ory. That's the
big one. JR.
It was starting so well.
It's 7:45. Are we allowed to say that on the air? Do we have to dump that?
I did.
Good. You did? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, the poop emoji is the dump button. I mean, instantly thought of poop emoji.
JR.
Real quick.
What happened there?
Battleship about the game? Is it a movie based on the game?
No.
Oh, dang it. Okay.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Maybe.
Have you actually seen it?
I've seen her scenes on YouTube. I like Rihanna.
Scene. Wait, you watched her scenes on YouTube from Battleship?
That would be my only reason to watch the movie is Rihanna, so I might as well just skip to the good parts, which is Rihanna.
I just want to know in the movie, which I have not seen, and I don't think I'm getting grief for that, do they say, "You sank my battleship"? Like, that's what, if it's based on the game.
And, like, the villain says, you sank.
You mentioned De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah.
What would be really good if he sank his free throws this year above 80%.
Okay, fine. Get us off the battleship thing. That's fine. What do we expect out of De'Aaron Fox? In grading, I don't know why I sighed like that. In grading De'Aaron Fox this April or May, is it more about what De'Aaron Fox does or more about is there a world where De'Aaron Fox can have a really good statistical year, the team can miss the playoffs, and you still say De'Aaron Fox had a great year? Outside of like 35, 10, and 10. But you know what I mean.
Individually, I think so. But at some point, this has to translate. I mean, the honest separation to me of De'Aaron Fox and the other really good players in this league is the win total.
Yes.
And it's so true. I think De'Aaron Fox could probably have less of a year. And the win total goes way up. He might be on his first All-Star team. And he can't drop like 15 points a game. But if this team was very good, whatever that it translates into win total, come the All-Star time, and De'Aaron Fox was a major part of it, the Kings are going to have an All-Star. And it could be him, could be Sabonis, could be someone else. But he's had to carry this team at times.
Yes.
I don't think he's in that spot now, but it's not like, hey, let off the gas. He still has to use his superpowers. Where I hope is maybe because I don't think he has to carry the offense as much, that I hope that really translates then into him being the defender that everyone says he can be, but certainly hasn't shown it. I mean, he hasn't done it nearly enough.
Can De'Aaron Fox make the All-Star team this year and still have a bad year because the team sucks? I mean, I'm just trying to throw scenarios out. No. So if he makes the All-Star team,
DeMarcus did that. But De'Aaron's had numbers to be an All-Star. Mm-hmm. He just hadn't made it. He's been an All-Star. Like, DeMarcus was that for a year or two, and then he made it, and then it was hard to get him off of the team. I just don't see a scenario if the Kings... It's rare. Last year, who made it? DeJounte Murray from a losing team. Generally, it's the top 5-6 teams that are having their best players get on the All-Star team.
De'Aaron Fox will be 25 in December. DeMontis Sabonis turned 26 in May, so they're a little over a year apart. Who's a better player?
Sabonis.
Okay. And I think that is what the NBA as a whole would say.
Yeah. Because I think right now if we did, and I'm going to call him a center, mm-hmm. best centers in the league. Yep. I don't know when you get to Sabonis, but you're getting there quicker than you say best point guards in the league in De'Aaron Fox, aren't you?
I saw, ranking schmankings, but you consistently see DeMontis Sabonis somewhere around 25 when it comes to league rankings. Now, I saw one yesterday that was garbage, but it had, where was De'Aaron? It was like 57 or 60 or 60, whatever. And again, that's not the grade, but you consistently see, in whether it's ESPN, NBA, whoever's doing the ranking, DeMontis Sabonis is ranked relatively higher than De'Aaron. I don't do the two All-Star appearances, not to disrespect Domas, but I feel like De'Aaron, if he was in the Eastern Conference, would probably have an All-Star appearance or two. But my question, the reason I ask that is I agree with you. I think all things considered, if you told me I could have one of them for the next 8 years, but I could only protect one player in an expansion draft, I would take Domas Sabonis. So why is it De'Aaron's team? Is it because he's been here longer?
Probably. Yeah.
And if you're Mike Brown, do you agree with that? Do you come in and say, not that he's going to come into practice and be like, De'Aaron, it's no longer your team. DeMontis, it's your... Now, of course, he's not going to say that. But maybe pull Sabonis aside and say, hey, dude, listen, I know last year you were just trying to get it together, but... All you hear is the Kings are going to go as far as De'Aaron Fox takes them. This is De'Aaron Fox's team. De'Aaron needs De'Aaron this. De'Aaron. I'm not disrespecting him at all. What I'm saying is maybe he's not that guy. So is Sabonis?
In the limited amount of time we've seen him, I think there's qualities and attributes there that could get him to that leadership role. I mean, one of the things that still stood out to me was, I don't know, maybe it was his second game. His first game, he was great. Second game was maybe a night, Dave, where he had 7 shot attempts. I could be off here. And it was like, he did fine. He got his numbers, but he went, boy, he wasn't as big a factor in the offense. I think he was asked post-game, like, hey, you look like a guy that lets the game come to you, but what happened tonight? He's like, yeah, I need to go. Like, tonight pointed it out that sometimes I need to go get that and be more aggressive. And I think he was figuring out his new team.
Sure.
So I think now in a spot where you've had a camp, you've had some time before, I think Sabonis will speak up. I really do. If he thinks guys aren't on the court, per se, not necessarily to the media. I think he will.
Even De'Aaron Fox believes this is the best team that's ever been around him.
That's good.
I think it's not particularly close that this is the best team he's ever been surrounded with. And last year was a tale of two seasons for De'Aaron Fox. Mm-hmm. You can look at season one was before Tyrese Halliburton got traded. Season two, after the trade.
Yeah.
And he was two completely different players.
Yeah.
And I've always wanted to know how much much of that had to do with health? How much of that had to do with Tyrese Halliburton being gone?
Yeah, and the third part for me, how much of it had to do with playing with Sabonis? Mm-hmm. And he had even said, well, I'm being guarded differently.
Right.
I mean, if Fox is your second option now, and truly, like, things go, that's a pretty nice spot for him to be in.
And meanwhile, Keegan Murray and Kevin Herter and Malik Monk
and Barnes, all these other guys can flourish.
They're just pitching tents at the three-point line.
Yeah.
Just waiting to happen. We'll take a break. Yeah, that too, Jay. Mm. When we return, speaking of, what does Harrison Barnes want to do post-NBA? We asked him that question. And we also asked him about team accountability, personalities. Who's going to be that guy in the locker room? And could it be him? He joins us next.
The place to tell you if the 49ers are contenders
or pretenders.
It's a pretty big deal. I've been a fan of the 49ers since, like, I don't know, 84.
Your home for 49ers news and talk. Sacktown Sports.
Your local sports leader.